Well, today I begin a new series of teachings called The Spirit Man, Getting in Touch with Your Spirit. We've entered a new era in the church. The prophetic word has been spoken about this. The prophet Byron Easterling, who's part of our house, declared it a few weeks ago. And since then, several major prophets around the country and the world are declaring we've entered a new era, not just another time, not just another page in history, but one gate is closing and a new gate is opening, a new era like never been seen before in the history of man. A time with when the church needs to shift mightily to engage this culture like never before. And I believe that it requires a new emphasis on looking at life through the lens of our spirit's interaction with Holy Spirit. You know, that's the one part of us that we don't think a lot about and is not a much teaching about. We know we're a spirit, soul, and body, but we just kind of autopilot our spirit in all that we do, right? It just kind of is there. But God wants us to intentionally increase the spiritual reality of our spirit in this new era. And so today I'm going to start at the very beginning and we're going to look biblically at all that the Bible says about our spirit man, our spirit woman. And the first step is where we'll begin, with a greater awareness of our spirit. We're going to answer the question that needs to be answered in our life: what am I? So if you'd open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. See, I believe to know what we are is the beginning of knowing who we are and what we're capable of doing in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Holy Spirit, we come to you ready for a fresh revelation of the mighty truth about our spirit. Open our eyes and our hearts. Open our awareness in Jesus' name. Amen. Follow along as I read. It's also on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this: Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a difference between our desire to receive more of God and our capacity to carry it. Let me say that again. There's a difference between our desire to receive more of God and our capacity to carry it. Desire alone does not determine capacity. Awareness does. So often we desire, oh, more of you, Lord, more of you, more of you, Lord. We get hit by the Holy Spirit. We get touched powerfully, only tomorrow to lose what we just received today. How often does that happen in our lives? Lord, I want more, I want more. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I want to receive it so badly. More, Lord, more. Wow, that was awesome. Tomorrow, what happened to it? It's gone. See, because there's a difference between our desire to receive more of God and our capacity to carry it. And the answer is becoming aware of what you are will determine the capacity you have to carry the kingdom, to do what Jesus did, to do even greater things because he's gone to the Father. That's the call of the church. See, you're a container for God to pour into. The only question really is how big of a container will you be? It begins with awareness. The first step is answering the question without hesitation, with an awareness of what you are. Paul reminds us in this text, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete." See, that's the order. That's what God says. He says that you and I are a spirit with a soul. That's who you are. That's what you are. You are a spirit with a soul that happens to be given a body. Our current body is a temporary dwelling of what we are, but what we are is not our flesh. What we are is a spirit with a soul. That's the part that lives forever with him. And one day when he returns, we'll get a new body. But this text tells us it is only when we walk as a spirit man that God himself can sanctify or bless us entirely, preserve us completely, and prepare us fully for Christ's return. But we must be aware of our spirit. Let me ask you, do you walk aware of your spirit? Most of us don't. We kind of just go along life. But loved ones, we must understand this core truth. Someone asks, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about that? It's a huge deal. We need to develop the discipline to stay aware of our spirit and understand its role in our lives because God has given us free will. Everything he wants to do in our life has to be filtered through our ability to choose it. And the Bible says, we were dead in Christ. We were dead to self and alive in Christ. There's a secret weapon inside of you. Your person of your spirit. Sometimes we connect with it, most of the time by sheer accident. But what would happen to you and to me if our connection wasn't by accident with our spirit, but it was intentional in our lives, that we grew our discipline of our awareness of our spirit man in our life? You are a spirit with a soul. That's what you are. I am a spirit with a soul. That's what I am. Happen to have flesh. And I will steward this flesh better when I know that I am a spirit with a soul than not knowing that. Let me ask you, what are you? Say this with me. I'm a spirit with a soul. That's what you are. And step one is awareness of that fact. See, everything I learn, God designed to live in my spirit. But here's the problem. We try to get it to live in our flesh before we've let it settle in our spirit. And when we try to get what God gives us to live with our flesh before we let it settle in our spirit, we lose it. Everything I do, I must be led by my spirit, because here's the truth. Here's the point. I cannot be led by the Holy Spirit unless my spirit leads me to him. And if I try to be led by the Holy Spirit without an awareness of my spirit, it's pretty hard for Holy Spirit to lead me, because that's where he lives. And the result is the difference between receiving and carrying what you received, because the fertile soil of your life is in your spirit, not your flesh. See, your flesh is the rocky soil. Your spirit is where the fertile soil is of your life. And what happens, what believers do so incorrectly is their soul, their mind, their will, and the emotions, they hear the word of God, they desire to receive it, but then they try to put it to work in the flesh. Small container, rocky soil. See, so many of us try to go soul to flesh. In fact, we try to work things out with our soul, forgetting we have a spirit. We try to do the Han Solo with our soul. This notion. And we wonder, why do I feel alone? Because you're looking at your soul connected to your flesh. Because if you looked at your soul connected to your spirit, you would never, ever, 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 ever feel alone. Ever. Ever. We need to become aware that we have a spirit. The soul can't lead us, loved ones. I am a spirit with a soul. You are a spirit with a soul. That's what you are. When you know that you are a spirit with a soul, you become a container that is limitless for God to pour into. But He can't pour into what you're not aware of because you have free will. And you need to apply your will, your free will to your spirit man and let your spirit soar with the Lord and let your spirit lead you in the Lord and let your spirit lead your soul to tame the flesh. You and I are a spirit with a soul. This is what the first century believers believed and how they operated. Listen, this is why Acts 10:16, Peter could enter into a trance that allowed him to see radical sheets of new theology coming down from heaven. Revelation 1:9, John could be caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day and see the revelation. 1 Corinthians 12:2, Paul could experience unspeakable things revealed to him in the third heaven. Acts 16:25, Silas could sing and pray to God in the midst of the deepest dungeons in Rome and see prison doors open. Acts 7:55, Stephen could see the Lamb of God standing at the right hand of the Father during his stoning. Acts 17:6, Jason could risk his life to harbor believers in his home. Acts 13:1, Barnabas, Lucius, Simeon, Nahum could minister to the Lord and receive the assignments to commission Saul as an apostle. Acts 8:38, Philip could be transported from one city to another. Acts 9:12-11, Ananias could receive the instruction to lay hands on the unthinkable, most ruthless man, Saul of Tarsus, and pray for his healing. Because they knew what they were. That they were a spirit with a soul. They were so aware of their spirit. They did things that most of the church today goes, wow, cool, pretty cool, wow. Let me learn how to just be a better person now using the scriptures. Let's just use this as a self-help book because it's the best self-help book around. Do this and don't do that better. When these men were soaring, and that's the era the church has entered once again. Because God did not call you and I to read history. He called us to write history. And we cannot write history in the flesh. We have to be aware that we are a spirit first with a soul. That's what these men had in common. That is why Paul could say several times, I consider this present suffering in my body worth nothing compared to the surpassing glory of knowing Christ Jesus. How could you say that? Because he knew his flesh wasn't what he was. He was a spirit with a soul. Today we take the first step in this series, an awareness of what I am. See, what you are is a spirit with a soul. And I just want to conclude today by taking you a few anchor truths about this awareness, what happens when we walk aware of our spirit. And I've got a lot of teaching to come in the many weeks and months ahead. Because everything the disciples did in here, you and I are to do out there. Every bit of it. Not some of it. All of it. It either all applies or none of it does. We can't parse and decide, well, I'll take this one, but not that one. I'll do this thing, but not that thing. We can't do that.
Forward ho!
Yeah, man. Truth number one about awareness. When I walk aware that I am a spirit with a soul, my vision increases. When I walk in the awareness that I am a spirit with a soul, my vision increases. Because I know what I am, I can now carry all that I am. God has given you a vision for your life. And our job, our vision here at Embrace is to cultivate the vision he's given you and to release you. In one of the seven mountains of culture, to be the head and not the tail, to dominate. In whatever sector, medical to dominate, education to dominate, politics to dominate, engineering to dominate, business, technology to dominate. The kingdom of heaven. Psalm 139, 16 and 17, listen, it says, your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Listen, God is saying before you were conceived physically, God already had formed you spiritually. You were a spirit with a soul before you were flesh. You lived in the heart of God. He knew you. He knew all you could become. And he said, listen, all you can become, my vision for your life, listen, all that I have for you, you're so important to me. There's so much I want to do with you. If you want to think of how much vision your life can have, he says, I want you to count, whoa, every grain of all the sand on all the beaches in the earth. And that's the vision I have for your life. And all that vision was created to live in your spirit. Now let me ask you, the more you're aware of your spirit, do you think the more you can become aware of his vision for your life? But if you're not aware of your spirit, man, you're going to miss it. Every once in a while, you'll stumble on a pebble. Oh, a little more of my vision. When God wants you to soar in the wisdom of Solomon, wants you to soar in the dreams. Because he said in Genesis 1, let us create man and woman in our image and likeness. What is the image of God? God is a spirit. What's the likeness of God? God has a soul. God is a spirit and God has a soul. God has a mind. God has a will, right? God has emotion. That's what the Bible says our soul is, our mind, our will, and our emotion. We were made in his image. And the part of you that was connected before time is your spirit. So creative strategies for your life, creative ways to get something done that no man has done before. New innovative things, new songs to sing, new poems to write, new art to paint, new things to construct, new ways to do what it is, whatever it is you do. Already exist before time in your spirit in heaven. It's all there. That's why he says nothing is impossible, but you have to be aware of your spirit to walk with your spirit to him. You have to create a discipline in your life of constant awareness that your flesh is not all there is. Your flesh is not the reality. How your flesh feels is not the reality of your life. It's a problem, needs to be fixed, but it's not your reality. What your flesh says is not who you are. What your flesh is doing is not all there is to do. We become so much more aware of our flesh than we ever do of our spirit. I must stay aware of my spirit. Truth number two, when I walk aware that I am a spirit with a soul, my choices increase. Hallelujah. Because I know what I am, I can now let my spirit lead my choices. I can now let my spirit lead my choices. Now, this is one where the enemy trips us up big time. Big time trips us up. Genesis 2, 16 and 17 again. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat of any tree of the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of that tree, you will certainly die. Look, God established a fundamental legal right for all mankind, free will. And all of heaven is legally bound to the choices we make, legally bound to it. And God says, when you choose me, your choices are limitless. When you choose my way, your choices are limitless. And it is your spirit that will take you there. When your spirit leads you to me. Because your spirit and my spirit are joined in your life. I'm in you when I'm born again. And your choices always produce freedom. And then he says, because he says, you can eat of any tree in the garden. You can eat of anything in the garden. In other words, I have limitless possibilities for you. You can choose. But then there's one tree, one choice that produces death. And that's the choice the flesh lives under. That's the part that Jesus died for. That sin nature that lives there in our flesh. And that's why Paul says in Romans, you're dead to self. You're dead to that flesh. You're alive in Christ. The devil makes us think just the opposite. Choosing God's way limits my choices, limits my options, limits what I can do. Just the opposite. Look, in your life, in your decision-making, in your choices, the enemy is constantly wanting you to choose the world's way. Go ahead and lie about that. Go ahead and do it incorrectly. Go ahead and, because there are much more choices of that. And we're constantly tempted in our flesh, right? To follow those directions when God says, be aware of your spirit and I will show you what to do. When the awareness of your spirit comes upon you in those moments, you'll see that the one choice, the only way out in this situation, the only thing you think is possible is the world system in this situation. You will all of a sudden see choices to do it my way.
opportunities to do it my way, says the Lord. I must stay aware of my spirit. Truth number three, when I walk aware that I'm a spirit with a soul, my confidence increases. This is at the core, loved ones, of what we must understand to do the things the first century church did. This is at the core of understanding what Christ did. See, we need increased confidence. When Jesus said, "You will do what I've done and even greater things," how many of us actually have the confidence to believe that? Truly the unwavering confidence to say, "I believe with all my heart, soul, and mind, I believe I can do what Jesus did." I think most of us, if we were honest with ourselves, struggle with that. But it's because we don't understand. Listen, John 20:21, Jesus repeated his greeting. He rose from the dead, and now he goes to visit his disciples, goes through the door, and he says, "Peace, as the Father sent me, I'm now sending you." Receive the Holy Spirit. See, it was in that moment they were born again, but there was something deeper in that he was saying to you and me. It was something deeper in that text that he was wanting us to know. There was something that was restored that had been broken. Jesus, the second Adam, fully restores what the first Adam had in creation. As the Father sent me, I'm now sending you. How did the Father send Jesus? Jesus was a spirit with a soul. God Almighty is a spirit. He was a spirit with a soul. God Almighty is a spirit. And in that moment, he became flesh. As the Father sent me, I now send you. I've restored to you my interaction. I restored to you the way I originally sent you, as a spirit with a soul that now has flesh. That's why you're alive in Christ. So your confidence for me can be that now you can go as my son demonstrated, as I, God, demonstrated. Your original intent and design is for your spirit to be connected 24/7 with me. Your spirit to be always in relationship. In my life, I've got to this place. I feel him all the time. All the time. I never stop feeling him. That's not my flesh. That's my spirit. You must get to a place, and I've got a long way to go, but you must get to a place in your life, every breath, you feel him, you sense him, you know he's there. The channel is open before you pray. When he says he knows what you ask for before you ask, why? Because your spirit is with him. Your spirit is with him as the Father sent him. He's saying, "Now I send you. I now reconnect your spirit with me, with Holy Spirit. The way it was originally, I now send you the way I originally created you to be." And that should increase your confidence that you can do what Jesus did and even greater things. I wonder who in this room will we hear testimony of going into a trance and seeing a sheet come down from heaven with the creative strategies of how to reach this generation.
We're now the very media of Facebook and Instagram is being censored. You say Jesus too much on the internet? Somebody disagrees with you, doesn't like it, it gets taken down. The church is going back to the time of the first century when they had to, when they mentioned Jesus, they got so persecuted they had to draw a fish in the sand. I wonder who will be the first in this room that will enter into a trance and see the creative strategy to reach a generation. I wonder who will be in this room, will be caught up in the Spirit and see the revelation of what's to come. I wonder in this room who under great persecution would sing and pray when the darkest dungeons are opened. I wonder who in this room will get transported from this place to another place to pray for somebody. See, they all had one thing in common. They had such a deep awareness of their spirit. They could be used. They became limitless containers for Holy Spirit. The flesh didn't matter. The flesh didn't matter. Do you know all the original 11 and some of the others were so brutally murdered? Heads cut off, limbs taken off, hung upside down. They were so connected to Jesus in their spirit. Their flesh didn't matter. Their flesh was so submitted to Holy Spirit because their spirit was so submitted to Holy Spirit. That is what's being restored, I believe, in this new era. Let's stand. Father, as we sing now, reset us, Lord, to stay aware of our spirit. Reset me, Lord, that I may have a greater awareness of my spirit, that I may become a container with limitless capacity for you to pour into my life. I say yes to you, Lord, that the things that the first century church did, I say yes, Lord, I will do that for you. But mostly that I can draw closer to you every breath I breathe. Closer to you with an awareness of my spirit until the day you return. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.